pints. If you got good beer, here a little tip that I'd like to relate. I said, man, fish.
All right, you know what that means? It means it's time for me and our fish, Ichthyodork. Well, actually, our Ichthyodork. Forget the fish. Ichthyo means fish.
You got it. Yeah.
Dork.
Yeah. How's it going there, Deputy D?
It's good. Music dork.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely. Deputy Dizzle Dork.
Buried in tunage. Well, so you, yeah. I've noticed you out on the river a little bit as I drive to work. I see you out there. Does that cause a little bit of consternation to the natives?
I think perhaps, even though we've tried to get the word out both in the paper and on the show here, some people still haven't gotten the word. And
yeah,
that's just
tell them why you're able, what you're doing out there, you and the other fishermen.
Yeah, well, mainly the hatchery folks there at the Federal Fish Hatchery are. Collecting fish, and I get to, you know, kind of lend a hand there because I'm at the other end of that steelhead chain, as we had mentioned before. They're after the brood stock, and after that, that's 100 fish for their brood stock, and 50 for another group of fish that they study to see, you know, just basically how they spawn and how their interactions of their progeny might go down out in the wild there with the wild fish, and just more quantifying of information, basically. And then at the other end of that, any of the wild female steelhead, then I take those and turn them into kelt and re-release them.
Okay. So anybody who sees fishing out of season, it is really science going
on. Yeah, you'll probably see some white tubes, PVC tubes next to those folks, or you probably won't see the inner tube boots that we carry them in because they're a little bit dark and hard to distinguish, but... you know, they'll hold them in the tubes there, and we'll get a few of them, and then we'll pack them up to the truck every once in a while. And these kind of like a half of a inner tube, kind of tied off at the end, that'll hold enough water to keep that fish breathing until we get them up to the truck, and then we'll dunk them into the tank and hold whatever we've got until we get them done and take them back to the hatchery and work them up at the end of the day. See if they're fish that are going to be, you know, good for that program, because they might have come from a different system or a different program, and then do with them what we need to at that point.
You know, I'm really glad you came in. I've been curious. It seems like maybe we should remind folks. Last year, the river was running different. It seemed like it seemed like everything was sort of coming out quickly. We had high levels early on.
Yeah, even
it seems different this year.
Yeah,
what are your observations on that? Being a guy who stands in the river a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, it was pretty much even all the way through December. The river was running at kind of like a, you know, a 900 instead of 300, or you know, I mean, in the middle of the summer and in the middle of the winter, I've always talked about how there's equal and opposite kind of like effects from temperature, and the extreme cold or the extreme hot does stuff to bugs, to fish, to everything, and in this case, you know, also to, you know, just the river itself. And last year it was cold in November, as it was this year, but more so even last year. It was cold in November and then started to warm up right away in December, and things started to basically almost run off as soon as it would hit the ground in December. And it did that on through the season until we got to this point about now, or maybe a few weeks ahead in the last season, where we were running at about, you know, 2,000 to 4,000 CFS, which is insane. The river should still be creeping along at, you know, 500, maybe 800 at Pateras at that point. And whatever just had it going way higher at this point, and it was a little bit different trying to collect brood stock. We had to use boats more. We had to get creative as far as it goes, because I had never really even personally fished for steelhead in that level of water. I would usually just say, well, it's blown out, we're going to wait the day or two it usually takes for that to subside and get back at it later. But that was pretty much last season.
Well, you know, and in context then of the summer that comes on after that, being it was like everything drained out, the levels went down, the water got real warm, it affected runs, it affected spawning in a negative way in a couple of different areas. So it seems like maybe, you know, I mean, it's always knock on wood
for sure.
It seems like maybe this is a little bit more normal, at least at this point it seems to be.
Yeah, it does. I mean, last year, holy cow, I just heard the numbers again. We lost like 90% of those sockeye. I mean, that's something like 500,000-600,000 sockeye that died on the bottom of the Columbia because the Columbia was too warm.
Yeah.
This year, I'm hoping that we won't get anywhere near that that low. I mean, we're still predicted, you know, to be kind of in a touchy place there. We've been still warmer than average, 10 to 15 degrees in some parts. But here it seems like we're kind of in a different pattern for sure in the Methow. It sounds like right now, as far as it goes, we've got good percentages in the snowpack. And yeah, right now versus last year, versus historic, last year we were like 3,000-4,000. This year we're at Pateras, we're usually looking at 1,000 to 1,500 right now at this point. And, you know, like I say, historically, probably more like 500-800 would be the mark.
Okay.
So, you know, it's
a little much, maybe.
Yeah, it's a little not normal, but it's a heck of a lot better than last year at this point. Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing that we've always, I mean, we've hit on regularly when we're talking about these things, and they sound really alarming to people, and they are in one way, you know, all of those sockeye diet.
Yeah.
There's built into these fish populations a certain amount of adaptability if something like this happens.
Right.
But what would be bad is to have it happen repeatedly year after year.
Then that's kind of the thing.
Yeah, then it can be seriously damaging to a fish population and would point to maybe a more long-term climate change, which we really don't want to be seeing.
Yeah, I think it's okay to, I guess, believe what you will to a point, but I think whatever it is you think at this point, with things like that, we have to at least look at it and say, why is this happening? And be truthful with ourselves. And if, you know, if the need be, we need to take, you know, responsibility for it and move forward with trying to fix things. It's I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started on that.
Well, we'll definitely be watching this. And it's really nice to have you in place there. But you know, one thing I was going to ask you today was the Lahontans, and you went up there,
but had a little bit of an experience. Yeah, it was, you know, my friends had come over from Bellingham. They were going to ride the loop, and I was just kind of itching to get over there. I have been for the last couple of weeks, and I just haven't been able to. And so I was just a little stubborn and went on Sunday anyway. And
nice day for that.
Yeah, boy, it was like it was like a very, very cold, wet hurricane, and went all the way over there and caught a small Lahontan in the blowing wind and rain. And, you know, those are the days you kind of question yourself. But,
yeah. And that was the day that the road washed out.
Yeah. Holy cow. I saw my buddy Keith. He works over there at North 40, and he was like, did you hear about did you drive down to Kartar? And I was like, into the lake. And I said, yeah, that's my favorite beach, you know. And he's like, well, the road washed out. And I, you know, I'm like, what? And you look, check it out on the Okanagan Disaster Management.
How serious was it?
Holy cow.
Take out both lanes?
It took out the westbound lane, which is the one you take to be coming home, the outside lane. And I don't know how far down to the lake it is there, but it is a long, long ways.
So they're probably not even letting people cross there until they get it.
I don't think so. It didn't take out that other lane, but if you look at the stuff that's underneath the highway right there.
I would
prefer not to anyway. And I think it's probably because of the fire that swept through there last year. And we're now starting to see a lot of these effects that I think, you know, I can't believe we haven't seen more of since the Carlton fire.
Every time we do get a batch of weather come through, you just know that there's these loose slopes out there that don't have any vegetation on them that have for a long time, and you just aren't quite sure where it's going to let go.
Yeah, exactly.
There's been quite a few more, I think, over by Chelan and so on, but still, every time I'm a little bit on pins and needles about it.
Yeah, you almost forget about all the other ones that happened because you got whatever's going on in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, it still looks great over there as far as the lake goes. It didn't get super close to it. It's more like along the highway up above the lake there as you're driving to. Unfortunately, it looks like you, like I say, might not be able to drive to that end of the lake, which is my kind of favorite lake there. They call it Cow Pie Beach, which is pretty romantic sounding name,
but
it really is just a beautiful spot. So hopefully if it opens back up to that end, I'll let you guys know. But right now you can still drive to Beer Can Beach, another great name. Don't let it fool you though. It's still really beautiful. And these fish are going to be pushing up for the next couple of weeks. And I think had we had a good weather day. Had we been able to see into the water or even cast, we would have had a lot better day there. I mean, we all got like one fish and.
Well, but, right. I mean, the season is coming on. They're getting shallower, more likely to take what you present.
And the people that were there that I talked to said that they had seen fish cruising the day before. They'd come back up because the fish had been cruising there and they could see it really well. The weather was nice the day before, of course.
The day before.
Yeah, it's always one of those things. Should have been here last week. But what are you going to do? All you can do is try again.
Well, we were talking earlier before we went on the air, and we're not going to talk about ice fishing.
No.
Though there is ice out there, just stay off that probably. But there are year-round lakes.
Yeah. And that's the thing I was going to remind people, just to kind of start thinking ahead to the lowland trout openers that are coming in these lakes. Like we have our year-rounders like Patterson and, oh gosh, I know a couple more. I don't want to get into naming them because I don't have it in front of my face here. But I also think about April 1st openers too. Mm-hmm. Like Buffalo Lake is super cool over on the reservation. And if you've bought your license to go and fish the Lahontans, then you should take advantage of that by going and checking out some more of it. And
yeah, that's a good idea.
It's super pretty. You go out past Nespelum. It's a really, really pretty area as you go between Nespelum and Buffalo Lake and out to the lake. And there are some giant bass in there. And that's kind of what we go after on the first up there. And then there's also some big old red band, native red band that the tribe does, and some triploids like the ones you'd see in Rufus Woods.
No kidding.
And then later in the summer, the place just crawls with giant crawdads too. So,
no.
Oh, and kokanee. Really, really nice kokanee that I've actually caught on the fly up there. 15 to 17 inch average kokanee, which is pretty good for them.
Oh, yeah.
And so I really like that lake on the first. And then also I will go down to Washburn Island Pond down there by Bridgeport. It's kind of connected to the Columbia. So having a reservation license can help, but is not mandatory. You do have to have your WDFW license for that one. And it is a no gas powered lake there, but you can have a trolling motor. And there again, it's big bass and also a potential for some channel cats, big channel cat fishing.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, there again, just some new stuff. You know, I even talked to my buddy Bob. He's heading down to Banks Lake to fish some walleye. This is just that kind of time of the year where you can get out and hit some of those things that you might not when you're on your real go-to thing that you usually do.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, be creative.
Yeah, those are great ideas. How about room on your booking schedule?
You read my mind. I was just going to remind everybody, it's already, you know, getting filled up for the summer, and it's always a lot easier to get you out there. So if you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me directly at 509-429-7298 or just email me at methowfishingadventures@gmail.com or check out the blog and podcast at flyfishersproshop.com. And enjoy the spring. Enjoy the sun and get your fish right on, baby. Holding line. 49 pound catfish on the bottom of my collar. Took them home.